Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
All right, guys, welcome to a very special episode of Somewhere in the Skies. And this is going to be a unique show. One with guests unlike anyone we've ever had before. I am super excited to talk not only UFOs and aliens, but the supernatural and the paranormal. This will be both part of our main show and our Halloween series, a hybrid of sorts. And I am so excited to introduce you guys to the very first time on Somewhere in the Skies, Sybil and Rose, the Ghost Maidens. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hello.
First and foremost, where are you guys joining us from today?
Well, we are right now, we're in the Netherlands, which is a small country in Europe.
In a partial lockdown, so that happened again.
Partial yes. Lockdown. Yeah, I know the feeling well. It seems like every time we think we're free and we're ready to go out into the world, something happens. Interesting times we're living in. Well, I guess kind of to get an idea of who Sybil and Rose are. I mean, this is a first time for a lot of my listeners probably seeing, hearing you guys. So can you tell us a little about who you are, how you guys met, and what the Ghost Maidens Collective is all about? Yeah, give us the rundown if you don't mind.
Well, maybe we should start with our origin story.
Yeah,
it's real juicy. Now, me and Sybil, we met each other when we were working in the same restaurant. We met each other as cooks.
Yes.
In a restaurant in the Netherlands, and we were flipping burgers. We were making a satay, which is like a colonial dish we inherited from our beautiful past. And so we worked together, and Sybil is an artist, and I just started my studies as a writer when we met, and Sybil just finished in her master's art.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Italy, and then she moved to the Netherlands. And during our work in flipping burgers, we also talked about art, and we made jokes about art. And then she invited me to her house, and she showed me an episode of Ghost Adventures.
Yes.
Because she was like, Rose, you have to see this. This is ridiculous and beautiful. And then I watched it, and I immediately fell in love with the paranormal pop culture genre. And ever since, we have been spending all our free time talking about the paranormal, watching horror movies.
Yeah.
Especially shitty horror movies, because there's just so much to say about those.
And Emily in Paris as well. Another horror category. Not to be forgotten about. So
we started the Ghost Maidens. And I think the Ghost Maidens is basically just a name, a platform for everything that will go under the hood of the paranormal and pop culture.
Yeah.
So one day we will see each other. We would love to make horror movies, but also we want to do paranormal investigations. We want to make poetry. We're all working on a music album. We're working on a series.
Yeah.
So this truly is a artistic endeavor, a collective, like you said.
I would say it's definitely that we're creating art, but it's also like an anthropological approach to the whole paranormal phenomenon, because yes, that's kind of like the mirror we like to use.
Logical performative research, more or less, mm-hmm, to our own culture, basically.
Let's talk about that for a minute, your culture. Now, I know here in America, it's like Ghost Adventures is the prime example of like, yo, dude, bro, I'm going to punch a ghost in the face. Like, they're all about it. Americans are so aggressive when it comes to, I think, covering the paranormal. and expecting something from a ghost or a spirit who owes them absolutely nothing. How is the paranormal, or I guess the supernatural, how is it viewed in the Netherlands specifically? I mean, is this something, will you see ghost hunting groups going to homes and investigating things like you would here in America?
Well, definitely not. But maybe it's more interesting for Sybil to answer this question, since she is from the United States and she's spent some time in the Netherlands now. So I think you are the best one to see the difference between
well,
the two cultures.
Yeah, I can see the difference. But of course, Rose has grown up here. So she has full knowledge on the historical background of Dutch people. But yeah, Dutch people do not do the paranormal. They do not do the supernatural. They're very pragmatic, which is why I like them a lot, because they're very like down to earth, pragmatic. Things make sense, very logical. And but then I also feel on the other side that we have like a treasure trove of possibilities, because no one is doing this. Like, no one is talking about it, because it's not necessarily that we need to know if someone believes in ghosts or not. We just need to know a general attitude towards people's mortality and how they feel about living their life, how they feel about their death, what life means to them, what they leave behind. So, yeah, it's just like a kind of cultural study, really.
Yes. And like the Netherlands, it has a very Protestant religious background. And in this religion, there's not much space for superstition. It's just our entire history is either non-religious, because we've always been very welcoming to any kind religious, so we're a little bit like, what's the word for that? We don't really care what you believe.
Yeah.
As long as we can do business. And so we're not very superstitious, and it's also a little bit shameful to speak about non-physical things, because we are very materialistic, I think. It's also why the Dutch invented capitalism, pretty much. But my experience is that every time you open the conversation about anything paranormal, people are first a little bit at their guard, but then everyone is very eager once they feel safe talking about it. We're like, oh my God, I have an anecdote. I think I experienced this once before. So
it comes out.
I think, I mean, even here in America as well, like, it's hard. I mean, I remember when I first got interested in the UFO topic, I mean, I would not talk about it because the fear of ridicule and the stigma behind it. But, you know, once you open that door, I feel people are so willing to share with you. And I think, you know, breaking that barrier and making it more of a cultural acceptance is important. And I think, at least in today's world, the UFO subject has become very popular, you know, with all these military things going on. But would you say that things are getting better when it comes to the supernatural and paranormal? Like, it's almost becoming okay to talk about
Although the aliens, I don't think in Europe you will find a lot of people who would be like, yeah, aliens are there. Like, ghosts, yes. Demons, maybe. But aliens, we don't really encounter them here in Europe.
I think that's too far with that one.
Yeah. No aliens in Europe. I know.
Also, I'm like the alien skeptic of the two. It's like, aliens, I don't know.
I've got some alien questions that you guys actually brought to me, because we talked off camera about like how we could approach this conversation. And I was so excited with some of these topics that you brought to me, because I think they're questions that need to be asked of any of these topics in terms of history and folklore and pop culture, like you said. So we'll definitely get to the alien questions, but I got to get my ghost stuff in while I have the ghost maidens here first. I've noticed on your Instagram, you go to these very interesting locations, whether it's in the Netherlands or other areas in Europe, and have gone into these places and possibly investigated. Do you do paranormal investigation like what we see on TV? Like, are you going into these places and trying to like communicate with spirits, or is this more of just something you want to go and experience and record, whether it's through images or how would a paranormal investigation. What does that look like to you two?
Well, for us, just communicating with the dead, for us, is just studying history. Just looking at a painting, reading a book by a person that's passed away. I think that's the most effective way to communicate with the past. In terms of like, yeah, we do go to these places. We are still editing our first episode of where we did like a real ghost hunt with like, you know, some equipment and stuff. But we don't like to get too scientific or technical. We just like to use the basics.
Yeah, we're not looking for proof.
Yeah. So we do go to all these places, but my degree was in art history. So I think the past is full of things to learn. And we say that being haunted is just being charged with history, charged with historical meaning.
Yeah. And I think like studying art and studying the culture of engaging with like ontological things, engaging with metaphysics, engaging with the spirit world. We still have to find our word for this, I think. It's one thing, but I think we are researching the paranormal from different perspectives, yeah, to get like the most universal perspective on the whole thing. If you see it from different perspectives, like from a socialistic, cultural, maybe even scientific,
yeah, and
anthropological point of view,
and as much
performative,
yeah, and as much sometimes, yeah, you have to look at it as much as you can from outside your own culture, because I think it's really hard for people to understand that like the way you think isn't necessarily universal. So you, yes, also have to approach things from a complete outside perspective, and that's really hard sometimes,
yeah,
because you're trained to think in this way your entire life. You've been thinking a certain way, and you know, like thinking about a ghost or a spirit means something probably quite different for us than most people, because we think that you can haunt yourself. I mean, you can haunt yourself with thoughts, with behavior, yes, participation. I mean, food, you know?
That's a really interesting perspective. I mean, I'm currently living in Hawaii, which is part of the United States, but it's so different when you speak to a local, an actual Hawaiian here, you know, as a, you know, a white person from the mainland,
yeah.
I have very specific views and I guess preconceived notions about what a spirit is. Yet when I come here and I actually just did an interview with a local storyteller of Hawaii legend and folklore. And
oh,
he told me, you know, like, it's just accepted that we speak to the dead, or that we speak, and it's not even speaking to a spirit. It's literally like they never left us. The vessel is gone, but they're still there. And I love the idea that it's an everyday thing for a culture like the indigenous people here.
Don't you think it's also really fascinating that here in the West, we think that the best way to communicate with the spirit is by using technology, like using science, which is like actually really crazy to me to use these physical things to speak with something non-physical.
Mm.
And I think ghost maintenance is also a little bit about like, let's use different, like let's get a different approach. Let's just realize,
yeah,
that we're from a culture that's extremely materialistic, and let's just realize that and not use that for the spirit world or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's a time and a place for it, and I agree with you.
Exactly.
I think the approach of art in specific is something that really resonated with me when I learned about what you guys did, because I myself am an artist. I went to school for theater. As actors, we're bringing to life characters that may have been actual human beings and have died. Yet here we are, you know, resurrecting them time and time and time again. And it almost creates this energy of like a communion of sorts, I guess would be a good way to put it. And it's us remembering these people through art. So I'd love to get maybe a little better idea of what art means to you guys in terms of if you find, let's say you find a very old painting in a museum or at a an antique show, what does that mean to you in terms of what is the story behind this and how can I infuse it into how I approach the paranormal, I guess? Well, is a long-winded question. Yeah.
I would say that the similarities between the paranormal and art is really close because we use the same terminology, like medium, channel, you know, all of these same kind of like the artist as channeling something from above and this creative process that comes through us and we don't really know what happens or where it comes from. Yeah, inspiration is kind of like this thing from beyond, you know? So I think it's very, the two worlds are very much the same, especially in terms of like psychology and self-awareness and this kind of thing in creation. And yeah, I guess looking at old paintings for me is, yeah, Rose says it's like time traveling. It's the closest we can get to being a time traveler because we not only see the past as you know, how it could have been, but we also see how they saw the past, which is really important.
You can see it from their own eyes, which is something else as just being a spectator. It's actually being them a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like, you know, especially in the world of theater, when you're trying to embody, I guess, the spirit of another person, you are almost possessed. Yeah. It's a living, breathing possession, unlike what we see in the movies.
If you look at the eyes of a performer, like a good performer, and he's really in the moment, he or she, then that's just, it's just 100% the same thing as magic. I don't see any difference. We are looking for magic in the wrong places.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I feel like, and this is also a little bit like, I think we're getting closer to the ancient alien.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. We're definitely going to go there, yeah.
Because I feel like, especially like I'm only speaking for Western culture now, like European American culture, that we are seeing magic as something that is very otherworldly, like something that is just a miracle, basically, that is beyond our understanding. But I think the magic that is just right there always is just an art piece that overwhelms you, or a weird synchronicity, or a word that's following you around, or just a strange happening in your life, or an object you lost for a long time. And like every time you feel this meaning in your life, every time you feel that, this means something to me.
Also, when we're in the restaurant and all of a sudden everyone comes in at the same time and orders the same thing and they're not sitting next to each other, like that kind of stuff is totally normal, you know? And then you're like, what is going on?
Everyone
coming at the same time and they all want the same thing. It's totally weird. It's like some weird cosmic string, like...
And we always need to be something that it was given to us by higher powers or gods or whatever. Well, why don't we just give ourselves some credit?
Yeah.
We're pretty amazing, you know?
Oh my God, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because that does bleed right into the ancient aliens question. Exactly. You know, we have this television show that's been on for almost 15 years. And I must admit, full disclosure, I have been on the Ancient Aliens television show.
I would go too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to take the opportunity when it comes. It brings up the same point of, you know, we look to an other for these incredible, amazing accomplishments we've had as human beings and think to ourselves, no, we're not capable of that. We were not smart enough. I do wonder, you know, these early thinkers of the ancient astronauts or ancient alien question, why do we have to look to another intelligence or advanced race to have intervened? I just, what are your guys' thoughts on ancient aliens? Let's get the brutal, honest truth.
What's with the shame? Yeah. We were saying, why are people too hard? It's too hard for people to accept that we did it. Why do they want to put it on aliens or something?
Well, I don't have the answer to why. Do I have the answer to that?
You had a moment.
I got so angry from watching Ancient Aliens. extremely angry. There was this one episode they were talking about the mana machine. A mana machine. And they were like, oh, they could only have built these pyramids when they had a mana machine or something. And it's like, oh my God, they're completely abusing a beautiful moment in art history where there was this writer who had a beautiful symbol to express his disbelief on how amazing these people were to make these beautiful things. And this metaphor was just mind-blowing. And then now there are people who are saying, oh my God, like completely neglecting art history. Like that it would, and yeah. They're just saying it must have been other. It makes me so angry.
I understand, because again, we're putting technology back into the picture when in reality, it's art.
Imagination.
Yeah, it's creation. And yet, let's put this technological slant or angle to it. Because it had to be aliens who used such highly advanced technology to create this. No, it was the ingenuity.
It's us.
Thank you. I'm glad we're on the same page with that, guys. Let's say if aliens have visited our planet. And that's still a big question for me, even as a alien and UFO researcher. I think we have done some incredible things throughout time, and I don't think we need to put aliens onto that all the time, like the show does. But moving back to ghosts, I got one more ghost question for you, and then we're going to go full-on alien.
All right.
I saw something on your Instagram recently, a question of, can ghosts fall in love? And that really struck me. Can ghosts fall in love? And second of all, what does that mean? What does that mean to the two of you when you ask the question, can a ghost fall in love? Or can you fall in love with a ghost? Let's go both ways.
Like the other way around, I think that was our approach to the question also, is that I think we all had celebrity crushes.
Mm.
And me, myself, I
have some plans, let me tell you.
Like I have a weird... I don't know, fetish. I mean, I don't know if I should share this, but I think I am. Like, I like dead men, virtual men, or imaginary men. It's like, that's my type. But if you turn that around, like, maybe the dead, the virtual, and the imaginary can also like us.
Well, what do you think? I do, because, you know, when we're thinking about ghosts, I'm really thinking about, you know, the living more than I'm thinking about like the energy left over of a dead person. But I mean, people can fall in love with ideas and they can fantasize about something their entire life and have it never really come true. So you can be in love with someone your entire life and it's only a projection. It's only an image, something that's happening within your own head. And it has no place in reality. It's pure fantasy. I mean, everyone does this when they're in love at first. You completely project yourself into another person. And I think this is the same thing as being in love with a ghost. So I think in terms of the opposite, can an idea be in love with you? I don't think so. I don't think it's a mutual thing. I think it's a one-way street.
Mm. Yeah, but you can also ask the question, isn't love always imaginary?
Yeah.
Right. It is this invisible force that I think kind of makes us insane. I mean, you think of when we are in love, we do things that are completely irrational. We have thoughts and feelings that we can never truly interpret or convey. And I think you're right. I think it is so alien or supernatural in a way that we'll never understand what it is, just like we'll never understand what ghosts are or what, you know, possibly what UFOs represent. It's just, it's these, like you said, magical things that might not have an answer. And that actually gives me comfort. Absolutely. I'm so happy you asked that, because I always get asked when I'm a guest is, do you think you'll ever know the truth of what UFOs are or if aliens have come to our planet? And I say, no. And maybe that's sobering or depressing for some people, but I don't think we're ever going to find those answers, but I don't care. I honestly don't. I love thinking about it. And I love keeping that those questions in my mind every day. And that's what keeps me going, because I think if I found the answers, I'd be very disappointed, possibly, in what those answers are. They may not be as exciting as I hoped, but yeah.
This is the same thing that drives artists as well. There's never going to be a point where you're like, oh yeah, I figured it out. I'm done now.
I'm done.
That you chase for the rest of your life, and you reshape it. It fits into different parts of your life. It changes you. You change it. Like it's a thing that you chase forever. It's never, truth is never like a solid object.
What's up, guys? Ryan Sprague here, and I'm just dropping in to remind you about our Patreon campaign. Somewhere in the Skies is always free to consume, but it's not free to create. So if you want to help the show on a monthly basis, we have tons of rewards for you in return, including shoutouts on the show and website, bonus content and episodes, and free merch. Want to be my guest or pick a topic for the show? You can do that too. So if you'd like to learn more and to help support the show, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you, and keep looking up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I remember reading a quote recently by a playwright who wrote Angels in America, you know, the very famous play, and Tony Kushner. And this play is something like 30, 40 years old at this point. And he's been asked, like, are you done? Like, is this it? Because he is constantly rewriting the play. And he said, what do you mean done? Like, it's never done. And yeah. Even a play that's been done all over the world in hundreds of languages, hundreds of productions, he's still rewriting as time goes on. And I think that's what's beautiful about theater.
My poetry teacher says that you should not do that.
That I understand. Yeah, yeah. Well, why? Why do you think that is? If theater is a living, breathing thing, you need to move on. Okay.
And I have one question for you also.
Yes.
Where are all the animal ghosts? Why don't people care about them?
I've never even thought about that.
No.
That makes me feel like a horrible person. I've never even thought about where animal ghosts go. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Afterlife ethics. Yeah. We should
what is that? What does that mean to you guys, the ethics of the afterlife? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Same rules as the living.
Well, we think it's really funny that somehow we expect the same rules in life that to still apply to the afterlife, which is ridiculous. Like, why should there be rules when we don't have bodies anymore? Because I think there's only rules because we have bodies. Yeah. Like, that's the only reason why there's rules in the world. Dumb flesh stops things, you know? If we die, then why would there still be limitations? I don't understand. Like, politics even. Like, no dogs. cats. You get to keep your race.
And no cows. Cows don't matter.
I don't know.
Cows don't matter. Neither do pigs.
Apparently not. Yeah.
Shows that the afterlife, how we see it, is only a projection of the living. It has nothing to do with the dead.
It's a mirror almost, yeah. Yes. I want to get your thoughts on that when we get to the aliens as well. But well, let's move to that. So, I mean, folklore storytelling plays a large role in a lot of what you guys look at in terms of art history and, you know, and everything like that. So in the world of UFOs and aliens, we have both ancient and modern folklorists talk a lot about fairies and fae folk and how these could be what aliens are. And like throughout history, you know, that these encounters with these beings throughout history have changed and evolved. So I'd love to get your thoughts on where does folklore play into this whole question of aliens, you know, these big-headed beings with big black eyes that we see now, but were they always like that? What do you think?
I think also this kind of new imagining of folklore in terms of alien stuff is also like the Terrence McKenna, you take enough drugs or mushrooms and you also start to see these sorts of like earth spirits, like Google DeepMind, many eyeballed. I think it's just a new development in like techno folklore that's like these things have always been there. I mean, you go to a cave and you go deep enough in the cave and there's drawings all over the walls and like people, you know, with large heads and all sorts of weird stuff. And you know, that's where they went to go think about those things. And I guess it just depends on the context. Also, take enough mushrooms and go to the wilderness and you'll probably see some aliens.
I've been on some mountain hikes where I wouldn't be surprised if I would run into a dwarf. Like in Norway, every landscape looks like there's like a dwarf family living there. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
Completely blends in.
Well, that kind of, I guess, bleeds into my next question. Religion. I mean, this is, you know, a controversial thing for a lot of people. These dogmatic sort of, I guess, principles, like you mentioned, something we self-impose on ourselves, whether it's belief systems or rules or commandments, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to the question of aliens, and I have spoken to so many people who have claimed having encounters with aliens or, you know, possibly being abducted by aliens and going up on a ship or leaving their home and being somewhere else in another realm or plane. And it kind of conjures images of like an out-of-body experience or being in contact with something like an angel or a demon. It goes both ways, I think. So what are your thoughts on the questions of aliens and angels, I guess? Is there a connection?
I think there is. I think they just deliver a different message. I think angels appear in a more moral context. I think an angel always comes to bring some kind of knowledge that you have to do something with, where an alien has a little bit the same emotion, and like you're always in awe. There's always this what's this emotion?
Sublime?
Like the sublime experience of encountering a being from above. But I think the alien has a more like it's more science. I think it's less metaphorical. I don't know. Like
I think the morality that aliens tend to bring is also something about like climate change, loving your planet. You only have one.
Yes.
But I would say that if this were the case and aliens were really concerned about like planet resources, that they would 100% want to take the resources they find in the broad expanse of the universe, because there's not that much around. So I would say if there are anything like the species that exists in the universe like us already, that we're pretty resource thirsty. So especially in terms of like water and carbon.
Well, you have a theory about aliens.
Yeah, well, I think they're us from the future.
Ding, ding, ding. You hit, like, all the alarms just went off for me for that. And I do want to talk about that. But let's, one last thing going kind of off of the messages thing. You're right. I again, all these individuals who I've spoken to who have claimed they were given messages by alien beings or angels or whoever or whatever they believe they communicated with is impending doom or, you know, basically like we say in America, like fix your shit, like get your act together. You're ruining the planet. You're killing one another. You can't even like talk to someone because they're a different color. It's these messages of get your act together or you're gone. You're done. And I do wonder your thoughts on would they want our resources if they were here? Or do we play some role in a bigger picture of like they're here for a reason? I wonder if they even care.
Yeah, I'm also like always concerned about like these abduction stories, and they're also similar to like, you know, angelic kind of like outer body experiences, like you said. But I just wonder like how often these things would happen if there wasn't a culture kind of supporting alien abduction, if there weren't all these movies being made about it, if there wasn't all this science fiction, which only really started, you probably know better than me, but only really started like after World War II and like when science really, the devastation of science was really seen and felt, and like, you know, dropping nuclear bombs and like this kind of like scientific anxiety. So I'm just always curious about like how much this alien myth would exist or these experiences would be reported without the culture, without the Western culture that goes with it, because I don't think it's necessarily a completely universal phenomenon in the way that like people in the West report it. But I don't know. I'm not.
Well, like definitely not, because like for here in Europe, for example, I don't know of any UFO ever being seen. Maybe like maybe there have been, but I think in Colorado it's pretty common for people to see UFOs.
I saw something weird, you know.
So we could think that maybe in Colorado there's just more UFOs, or maybe in Colorado it's more accepted to see one.
Yeah, there's a lot of sky. There's a lot of satellites. There's a lot of
It doesn't really matter which one of the two it is, because these encounters, I think, whether they're real or not, I don't really care about that. They're relevant because people have seen them and people have got a message from that, and I think that's. Yeah. That's relevant. It says something.
The stories matter.
So. Yeah.
Yes. Every story has value. And I mean, I wrote a book all about the people who have had the experiences, not how big was the UFO or like, what did the alien look like? Like, you're right. At the end of the day, I honestly don't give a shit. I want to know how it affected you and how it affected your belief systems or your perception of the world and time and space and everything in between. Yeah. Well, okay. So let's go down the route of us from the future. I love this theory. There have been encounters with UFOs and beings where people have said straight up, they told us they were us from the future coming back to either warn us of something. So yeah, let's go. What do you got for me? Time travel.
Well, yeah, I think we're still fucking up in the future. So I think the technology always comes first, and then we're like, whoops, that didn't really go so well.
Oh my God, Sybil is such an optimist. She thinks we're still going to be here in a couple of thousand years, because that's what it takes for evolution to shape our heads like that.
And then we speak with telecommunication. Like, that's not so hard for me to imagine. We're already doing that through devices now. Like, without speaking, we're thinking thoughts in each other's heads. Like, that's pretty amazing. So I don't really think it's that far of a step until we just, like, put a little whatever in there. And then we start communicating with each other. And then we're like, you know what? We need to get a hold of some really good, strong DNA. We need to go back in time here and here. I wonder. Okay. I actually wonder if alien abductions decreased or increased during 2020. I'm very curious about that.
Blood,
or something. And then they're like, "That's a really good good, strong genetic material. We got to go back and get it. I don't know. I don't know what happened in the future, but if it's anything like this year, this is only the tip of the iceberg.
It's like the new coronavirus that, like, capitates us.
Tell me about it. I do wonder that when people describe these beings, they look very, I don't want to say devolved because that's condescending, but they look non-human as we see humans. They look androgynous. They look like their heads are big, but their bodies are small. So like you said, there's probably more going on in the brain than like in the body. And they communicate telepathically. So is it us, you know, 1,000 years from now coming back to see what we were then?
I don't know. I used to study biology for like 4 years, so I've got opinions about this. But it's not a necessarily widespread thing that things are supposed to have symmetrical bodies. You know, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth. Like, this is very, very central to Earth. So like, look at the bottom of the sea, and there's some crazy life forms down there. So,
and like 17 arms,
I always tell people, like, stop looking for stuff up there. Like, all the stuff is down in the ocean. Like, I think we should be spending a lot more resources and time and money into what's in our deep seas than what's in our deep skies. And that's coming from a UFO alien guy.
Yeah,
so that's
something.
Exactly. And if the aliens are coming, like, if the aliens are coming to save us, now would be the time, I think. But they have chosen not to.
They wouldn't. Just, you know, like waiting for angels. They're like, they don't care about your sports award. They don't.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of wrapping up here, what would you give advice to those who want to look into these things but are afraid to? Like you said, a lot of this is not embraced where you live and other parts of the world, where, again, here in America, like, we are aggressively proud of every weird thing we do. What kind of advice would you give to those who want to get involved in the paranormal or UFOs and everything, all this weird stuff we talk about?
Well, first of all, stop confusing it with science. Ghost hunting is not science.
Well, I wouldn't say thinking it is science. I would say maybe using science to get there, because it's totally a bi-culture basis. Like, every culture is different. And I would look at the factors inside of your own culture and their own beliefs about the afterlife and mortality and the past, because you have to be able to put yourself in a position of knowing about the past and also what you're going to contribute to the future of it. So I'd say that you should know a little bit of history before you get started in the paranormal. You should know, you should have some important.
I think you should just care
ideas.
About philosophy.
Because there should in be the, some of that. Yeah.
I think in the end, it's a philosophical hobby in the end. Like, this is a very old tradition of mostly Greek men contemplating the fundamentals of reality, which is it's philosophy. Yeah.
It is. And I know that a lot of scientists out there believe philosophy is dead, which I would argue not a chance in hell. Like, you as a scientist, your job is also to be a philosopher.
Oh my God, artificial intelligence? We need some fucking philosophers for that.
Yeah. I guess kind of wrapping things up here, guys, tell us about what you have going on. Now, I know your Patreon is very popular. This is kind of where you live and breathe a lot of what you do, you know, outside of the music, which I want to hear about as well. But tell us a little about what you do over on your Patreon feed.
Yeah, so we're all we put basically our full versions of the things that we do there. So we're still in the process of making videos. So we've been doing this for about a year and a half, and I would say that a good portion of it has been with Corona around. So like, that's changed things a little bit. But yeah, we put most of our full length things on Patreon, and then we also have a lot of other weird categories. For example, you can choose the eternal possession category, And I'm trained as a classical portrait painter, so I will paint your portrait and Rose will write you a love poem. And we have other ones where we do dream and symbol interpretation of your dream, you know, whatever dream, something weird that's happened to you. We basically listen and give our advice.
But you can also become like a small lover to you?
Yeah, the spooky supporter.
Yeah, and then Sybil, she painted our eyes.
Yeah.
And you will get a small charm with our lover's eye. You can put it on a necklace.
We have like these little haunted art objects that we made ourselves. Also, they came from the Georgian period, the lover's eye. So it's like this kind of secret portrait. And that you would wear, and it would be a secret, it would be your lover, or maybe an object of mourning. It could be like a death object.
And we put a little spell on it to make it extra magical.
Yes. So it's both of our eyes. I painted both of them. And then we have like, yeah, we have little gifts or like readings, paintings. Yeah, you can even become our supporter for like $2 a month and just see all of our full-length things and inspire us, communicate with us. We'll even make a performance based off of a conversation. So
what is this go on a date with the ghost maidens thing? What is this?
Death over dinner.
Yeah.
If you become our patron for, I think, 10,
five a month,
then we would love to know what your perspectives on the paranormal are, and then we will make you your like your last meal, like what you would have for your last meal. We will make it for you, and then we would
work in the kitchen, huh?
And then we would eat it while we get to know each other, so that we can start a friendship.
Talk about mortality. I think that's the most down to earth, exciting, philosophical, honest conversation you can have with someone. You get to know a lot about someone. Yeah,
people are afraid to talk about it. Yes, very good point. I think.
We have. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
It's also the only thing we all have in common, right? I mean, we can have different beliefs and we may think aliens are real or ghosts are real or not, but at the end of the day, we all die. And it's something we should confront and, I guess, embrace, right?
Yeah. Just do the dance macabre. We're all going.
Exactly. Well, I know where I'm going after this. I'm going to go join the Patreon because I love what you guys are doing. I know this is not the last time. Yes.
I want to know more about aliens.
We're going to do a part two of this, I think, because we have so much more to talk about. Yeah, but I know it's getting late there. We're almost 12 hours apart. You're getting ready to wind down. All right. Doesn't matter anymore. Time is but relative, I know. But before we go, where can we find everything you guys are up to? And yes, where can we find the Ghost Maidens?
Well, we're on YouTube. So just type in the Ghost Maidens on YouTube. We're on patreon.com/theghostmaidens. There's a the, very important. People forget the Ghost Maidens. And then we're also the Ghost Maidens on Instagram. And on Halloween, we'll be doing our very first Twitch appearance.
Ooh.
And we'll be wearing our Halloween costumes, and they're going to be completely ridiculous.
It's going to be paranormal pop culture, all right?
Yeah.
With an emphasis on pop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you go to Instagram, the Ghost Maidens, there's also a link tree there. And
yeah,
there
you
can find everything there.
And also on Twitch, we're the Ghost Maidens. But the easiest thing is if you have Instagram already, you can find all the links in our bio.
The Ghost Maidens.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining me today on Somewhere in the Skies. Happy Halloween season, and we will definitely talk soon.
All right, see you soon.
the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.